Hey guys, how are you doing out there in San Diego, California? I'm sure it's a little warmer there than it is here. However, Barney and I are enjoying some of the seasonal weather we get. It's kind of funny because we wrap up like there's no tomorrow, and then we go outside and have to take half of it off because it's not really that bad. But we're enjoying San Diego and the believers. I mean, Norman and the believers here. So we both send our love to you guys, and we miss you guys immensely. It's awesome to be able to still teach the word to you and hear the word being taught by a lot of you guys there, because we get on the conference calls, and even though we're miles apart, I feel like our hearts are knit together in love, and that makes all the distance seem unnecessarily important. So I was blessed this morning with the way that God worked in Bob to open up the teaching, because what I'm going to teach on is vitally important in our lives, and that's if we want to live the Word, we have to know the Word. Know the Word of God, and you can live the Word of God. But without that foundation that most of us in this teaching here or listening to have had in our lives. And yet sometimes I even find myself making statements like, oh, yeah, I know that, or yeah, I've heard that, yeah, I've read that. But, you know, in a conversation I had recently with someone, it became really obvious to me that, you know what, we need to continue to study and immerse ourselves into God's Word. And we then have the ability, once we understand Romans 10, 9, and 10, and that birth of the Holy Spirit, that now we have that great foundation we still need to go to and check out and make sure that what we believe God's working in us spiritually lines up with God's Word. I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but I've thought a couple of times in my life, probably more than a couple. Anyway, I thought, oh, yeah, this is God. This is what God's showing me to do. Oh, my gosh, this is what it was. Oh, how exciting. And I didn't really think about it in light of the Scriptures. I just thought about it in light of, oh, this is going to be great. And then find out later that, really, that's not what God had wanted me to do at all. But I got so excited about being born again of God's Spirit that I had to learn that the Word of God, the knowledge of the Scriptures, and the Spirit that we have in us work together. We don't need one more than the other. We need them both. And I was in a conversation recently where somebody was a little confused about that and thought that once you get the Spirit, you don't need the Word. I mean, you know, you can read the Word, but you don't need to really, you know, go to the Word and make sure your teaching's all right. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so it kind of took me to this study in my own thinking and life to make sure that, you know what, I understand the importance of the Scriptures. So today, I thought we would look at an example from God's Word of a man of God that knew the Scriptures. So we're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verse 47. And if anybody that walked the face of the earth could have done it without the Scriptures, if that's what God had intended, would have been Jesus Christ. But let's look at how he lived his life. Luke 2, verse 47. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Whence or know ye not that I must go about my father's business? This was Jesus Christ at 12 years old. They had gone to a festival for the unleavened bread, and all the family went together, and Jesus Christ had, unbeknownst to his mom and dad, stayed back and was in the temple talking to the elders and the scholars, and they were the ones that were so amazed at his understanding and astonished at his answers. And he's 12 years old. And his mom and dad thought he was right there with the family somewhere. When they realized he wasn't, they went back to find him. And this is how they found him, sitting in the temple with these men. And these men were astonished at his knowledge of the scripture, and he was 12 years old. And it says in verse 52, look down and see verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. At 12 years old, he knew the scriptures that astonished the men that worked the scriptures. And yet God says, and he increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God. Favor, that word favor, I'd encourage you to take a look at that. It's used in the word several times. It has to do with what we and our administration know as grace. And it's a very interesting word to look at. It's pretty cool. So let's go to Matthew and look at another time. And these are important times in Jesus Christ's life. And I want to look at what he did and how he did it, because there is a great example for us in knowing these scriptures. And if he knew them, it really behooves me to know them, I guarantee you. So Matthew chapter 3. And this is when Jesus comes to the setting of this, is getting baptized by John the Baptist, which is another important event in what the word had said will happen in the Messiah's life. And so look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer, which means it is for us, or this is what we need now. So he says, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all unrighteousness. And then he suffered him, he baptizes him. And in this section, you realize that Jesus Christ had to know the scriptures about himself. He had to know that this water baptism needed to take place. He knew he was the Messiah. How did he know at this point he was the Messiah if he had not known the scriptures? Because remember, you're going to see this here in a minute. And so verse 16 says, and when Jesus was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Jesus Christ was not born with the Spirit of God in him. We know in the Gospels that John the Baptist, this is what God had written, was the only man from the mother's womb who had Spirit. So this is a point where Jesus Christ is getting an even more powerful connection with God. This is now an understanding of who he is in the scriptures and the Spirit of God upon him to work within him and to help him do some of the most amazing things he has to do down the road. And this word suffer really means that, like I said, this is for us. We must do this now. And I was really thrown away when I, not thrown away, but just kind of blown away when in verse 15, and Jesus answering unto him, to John, who suffers, who said you should be baptizing me, that they need to do this now. This is what needs to be done now, John. And I just thought, God, you talk about paying attention to every word of God. That's a big word, because down the road, things change greatly. So let's look at Matthew, another time in Jesus' life. You know, this at this point also, I wanted to mention that this is when his ministry became public and well-known. This is when it started being really talked about, and he was doing many signs, miracles, and wonders. And so right after the baptism, go to Matthew chapter 4, we see another really crucial part of what Jesus had to deal with and how he dealt with it. And I tell you, after looking through the scriptures and reading some of the things that I've read, this section of scripture, which I know I've heard many teach about, I've taught about, this thing really began to burn in my heart. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Then when Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now this period of time, he's just baptized, the Spirit's just come upon him, and God sends him into the wilderness to deal with the adversary. And what does he do? He doesn't say, hey, I've got the Spirit of God in me. I can smash your face right now if I want to. Uh-uh. You know what he said? It is written. It is written. And then he quotes the word to the adversary. And I want to encourage you to go back and reread this section, because he quotes the scripture at every challenge. Even when the adversary quotes the scripture back to him, he comes back with, it is written. How did he know all of this stuff? It was in the Old Testament. He knew the scriptures. You know, I was sitting there kind of chuckling when I read that section where it says he was 12 years old, and I thought, man, at 12 years old, I was still trying to figure out, you know, whether I was in love with Joe Cartwright or the boy that sat next to me in school. I mean, it was just, I just thought about, what were you doing at 12, Vicki? And it just made me laugh to think about, my gosh, this, what an amazing, amazing Savior we have. And that God was able to work with him. And I'll tell you something really important here. He knew those scriptures because his parents knew what the angels had told them, and they taught him the scriptures. And in that culture, it was very, very important for Hebrew boys to grow up knowing the scriptures. And I'm telling you, it is very important in this world right now, with all the craziness that's going on around us, that we teach our children the word. Even if our children are adults, we can still speak the word to them. We can still pray with them. We can still be that example that Jesus' parents were for him. Okay, so now let's go to Luke chapter 4. This is another big, I don't know if you can say every day wasn't a big life in Jesus. I'm sure it was, but man, some of these things that he dealt with for us, so we could have our relationship with him and God. Because I tell you, I thought I knew God and Jesus Christ when I was in my 20s, but that's when I really started learning who they were, not just a book that there were stories about. But the word became living and real to me in the 70s, and I'm so thankful. Okay, Luke chapter 4. Now this is when he is in the his hometown Nazareth, and he's at the temple, and they've handed him the scrolls of Isaiah to read. And he says, And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now, the word here says book, but we know there were not chapters, verses. It was on scrolls. So Jesus had to know exactly on that scroll where these verses were. And how did he know that? He studied the scriptures that were available to him. He put his heart into the Old Testament law and prophets. Okay? Now, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord has come upon me. This is what he read. And this is from Isaiah 66, 1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Then he stopped and had the scroll back, and then he sat down and began to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This was the fulfillment of these scriptures in these people's lives. And the people that were there that day were from Nazareth, his hometown. And they were not real blessed. And one of the cool things that he knew to do is he stopped after he read verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. Because the second part of verse 2 is about the vengeance of the Lord, or vengeance of God against the enemies. And this was not the time for God's vengeance to happen. Jesus Christ did not come to fight a military battle, which is what a lot of the Jewish people were thinking was going to happen, and they would have their freedom back from Rome and mean, vicious people. And this wasn't what was happening. So he stopped right before he read, and the vengeance of the Lord. This was not happening yet. And, you know, he actually, there's a section in the Word where they talk about his, he closed that book and he gave it again to the ministers and stuff. And everybody in the synagogue was kind of astonished at what he read, because he was reading about the Messiah, and they started realizing he's talking about himself. And he knew exactly what to say and exactly where to stop. How did he know that? Because he knew the scriptures. And it didn't go well. They wanted to take him out and throw him off a cliff because he was corrupting the scriptures. And what he proclaimed in 61. I said 66, didn't I? I'm sorry, guys. I got you lost. Okay, go back to 66. Barney helped me with that one. Are you guys at 66? One and two? Okay. So reread that if I kind of made your brain go crazy, because I had another verse written down I forgot to cross off. Sorry. Anyway, that was a big deal, because that was really where he came out and publicly proclaimed that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And it talks about this where they took him to a cliff to throw him off, and he just walked in the midst of them and left. They wanted, you know, they thought that was the law of Moses, that they had to take care of this hypocrite. But Jesus knew the scriptures, and he knew God would protect him, and so he did what he had to do. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. It's another great time in the life of Jesus Christ. And it amazes me how much of the scriptures are written for us to know and understand about this. This was the last time, Acts 1, verse 4, that he was with the disciples before his ascension. And I think it's really cool that he was able to be with them and to instruct them in spite of them. Because if you read this whole section, first Acts 1, we're not going to, but we're going to read a few verses here, starting verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For truly, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And this is just Jesus loving these guys. He's telling them, yes, John baptized with water, but from now on, and it's so cool, because he just wanted them to understand one of the most important things that they could understand, because things were going to change after the day of Pentecost. And they therefore came together. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? obviously, they didn't hear what he said very clearly. He wasn't talking about restoring the kingdom to Israel. He was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and how that would change their lives. But you know what? Just like I am sometimes, I don't get it when I read the scriptures, or I don't get it when God says something to my heart. I don't quite catch what he's meaning in the beginning. And that's why it's so important for us to take the things that we think about and we're maybe confused about or don't quite get it, and go to the scriptures and see if God can help get our memory back to what he's already shown us. I just think it's so important to realize the foundation, like Bob was talking about today. The foundation is what needs to be strong and solid. So when the tempter comes, or when the adversary comes at us, you know, that we are prepared because of that foundation, and then that Spirit of God within us is working, and we're sharp. We don't get tricked. We don't get deceived. We don't step outside what God has called us to be. For truly John baptized with the water, but, you know, this is not the time Israel is going to be redeemed in the way that the disciples and apostles thought so. And then he said to them in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the time or seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." Okay, that should settle that one. "But ye shall receive after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the utter parts of the earth." They had already been preaching in Jerusalem and in Judea, in Samaria. They had already been out and performing signs and wonders even before they got the Spirit, because the power and authority was given to them by Jesus. So they believed that, and they went and did it. And now he's telling them, this is what I want you to continue to do. "And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." And verse 11 says, "Which also, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him to go in heaven." And I thought to myself, man, that's amazing. These angels appear to these guys and kind of put the last stitch on the thing Jesus Christ was trying to teach them. And you know what? They did it. They didn't leave. They went back and they waited for the day of Pentecost. They did exactly what Jesus Christ told them to do. And then once they were born again of the Spirit of God, you know what? They went from house to house and big, huge assemblies gathered, and they taught the scriptures that Jesus Christ had taught them. They taught from the Old Testament scriptures still. But with the new birth, something new and exciting had happened, and God was able to use that Spirit in the beginning with them and throughout all time, if we believe and have that faith that Jesus Christ talked about in the sermons. You know what? We can raise the dead. We can heal the sick. We can minister to each other, and spiritual and physical deliverance can be received. We have that Spirit in us. And the scriptures make it very plain, especially the church epistles, that what we have been called to do. And that's part of the reason I'm teaching what I'm teaching, is because I understand more clearly, even in my own mind, after all these years, 75, and now I'm still looking at the scriptures sometimes in awe and amazement. But I see that it is the foundation. It is what God has put in our hearts that we can draw from, with that Spirit that he can put in, that he has put in us, that he works through, that we can really make a difference in people's lives. Those guys on Saturday down there, the Agape Now, you guys that go down there, you are ministering. You are proclaiming the things that Jesus Christ himself said to proclaim. You're there to help and minister to people. And you're there to give and serve from your hearts. In a grocery store, I've watched Barney do this many times. He'll start a conversation with someone, and 20 minutes later, I'm waiting in the car with the groceries because he has said something that stirred up that person's heart, and they are now just telling him everything about their entire life, which is great. I don't mind waiting 20 minutes for that. I love waiting 20 minutes for that. It's exciting to see God doing that. And I want to go to Colossians in closing here. Chapter 2. And I'm going to Colossians because, you know what? We have a calling, each and every one of us. And this is what God is encouraging us to do with our calling. Colossians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. How can we walk in the steps of Jesus Christ if we don't know the scriptures? It would be impossible. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's what we need to put our hearts to. That's what we need to go in our life every day, every morning, wake up and say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm ready. I want to do this for you. Give me somebody hungry today. Just show me what you want me to do today because I want to teach your word. I want to bless your people. I want to love the way Christ loved. Look at Colossians 3. Verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are we risen with Christ? Yes. So that should read, since ye then have been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. This set your affection, that term, literally means to keep your focus. Keep your focus on the things of God. Keep your focus on Christ and how he lives and works within you. There's a lot going on in this crazy world. And you know what? We have lots of distractions. But God has called us first and foremost to do this. And we can do that. And we can still work our jobs and raise our children and have great fulfilled lives. In fact, even more when you're walking like this. Because if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this is written to you. That's why we need to know the scriptures. I forget some of this sometimes. I don't feel always like I can do it. I don't always feel like I made the right decision. But you know what? If I focus back on the word, God shows me. And where I've blown it, God just says, I love you. That's why I sent my son. Now let's move on. And let's go do what we need to do. I love that about our Father. It's called grace and mercy. I want to encourage you to read Colossians chapter 3. We're going to just cover a couple of verses here to close, but this is a really cool, I find it a very uplifting and a very powerful surge through my body when I read it. Because you know what? Jesus Christ withstood the adversary face to face. We don't face him that way, but we still have the same enemy he had. And as we submit ourselves to God, then we can resist the adversary. And I want to read verse 8. But now ye also put off all these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, the Christ in us, guys, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him, after the image of Christ. And God created him. And you know what? He is our example. That area here, the reason I'm putting the I wanted to share this about put off anger, wrath, malice, and blasphemy and all this. You know what? Because the old man nature is still there, and we have to have the desire to shut him down and to put on that love, that understanding, that power that does live within us. We can do this. And these words here, anger, wrath, you know, those are emotional type of situations. Those are where it's really, the adversary really manipulates people with their emotions and with their past. And so I want to encourage you to read Colossians. All the chapters of Colossians would be great to get the whole picture of how powerful it is when we understand the scriptures and we allow that Spirit of God to work within us. We don't get tempted to do these things. We get tempted to do these things, but we're much stronger and we're much more loving and kind and Christ-like. Christ was so meek and humble. And that's what God looks for in people. He looks for them that he finds favor, the word says, with the contrite and humble heart. And that contrite heart means the humbleness of your heart. You get your heart to receive the word, and that's what you live by. So, you know, I really love you guys, and I know that this has really been a wonderful thing for me to do in my own life the last couple of weeks here. I've been really looking at scriptures every morning and reading sections of the Old Testament and the Gospels too, because I really am looking at the example of Jesus Christ and to understand how the old scriptures really fit with the scriptures of the Gospel, and you see how they fit together like a hand in a glove. And you really be, I mean, for the first time in a long time, I really thought a lot about what a tremendous thing God has opened up to us to know the scriptures and to know who we are in Jesus Christ and what we have to give and to love and to serve people with. So I'm hoping this has totally blessed you guys, because it really has blessed me. And I want to read one thing here before I pray. Barney came across this and showed it to me, and I thought it would be worth reading at the end of this teaching. The Spirit and the Word must be combined. If I look to the Spirit alone without the Word, I lay myself open to great disillusions. Also, if the Holy Spirit guides us at all, He would do it according to the Scriptures and never contrary to them. And that is by George Mueller. And you know what? That is really a very powerful thing to think about. We cannot be guided through the Spirit to do something opposite of what the Scriptures tells us. God would not do it that way, because He's magnified His Word above His name. His Word is the truth, and there's no way around that. And we're so fortunate that we have the materials and the ability and have had some training to really work the Word, so that when we do walk by the Spirit of God in our lives every day, those things coincide and work together one with the other. And it would never, God would never tell us to do something His Word tells us not to do. So, Father, we're so thankful to You for opening up the Scriptures to us as a group of believers and giving us that ability to have gotten born again through Your Spirit, Father, and that as You continue to teach us and instruct us and work within us, Father, that we see even greater the importance of understanding what God has started when You created this world and You breathed life into Adam, and what You really wanted for Your people and what can still be available to Your people if they're understanding the scriptures and they know what to do and they're obedient to listen to You, Father. Every time You bring people through things, every time that obedience and that love and that word is clung to and held on to in any kind of situation, there is deliverance. So we are so thankful that You love us the way You do, and that we can hear from You through the Spirit of the manifestations and like today, Father, they just rested our hearts and built us up and caused us to smile at certain points because we know we belong to you, and there's no changing that. And I thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.